Also, I was having a discussion with myself during the week, and I've decided that there are two types of heterosexual women. I was meant to text you about this, and I totally forgot to text you about it. So I think there's two types of heterosexual women. The first type is women who are attracted to men, which is me, unfortunately. I'm attracted to men. And then there's women who are attracted to men and like men. I don't have that part.
Yeah.
I don't have it. Like, I don't have that part where I like men. Like, even watching Hardlore, like, when they're in a room or they go to shows, and I'm like, the first thing I think is, there's so many men. I thought, why is there's too many men? Like, the idea of a lot of men makes me so uncomfortable. And I don't really like them. And sometimes when they talk, I'm like, shut the fuck up. I don't care. Like, so I know that, because I know there are heterosexual women out there like me who are like, I curse the day that whatever way my body was made, that I find these things attractive.
Yeah.
I don't want them around me.
Yeah, I get, like, I get that. I don't feel the same way you do about it. I think, like, as time has gone on, I've gotten more like, you're all a bunch of morons. But like, when I'm in a room full of men, there are moments where I'm literally like, you are fools. But I also am like, I'm here to tell you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. See, I don't, like, I don't, I wish I was like that, but I'm more like, I don't want to talk to any of you, and I don't want your opinion, and I don't care what you think. Like, yeah. that's not a good way to be either, but I'm just, as even as, especially as I've gotten older, I'm like, I don't want, just stay away from me. Like, I don't want you. But that's what I think. I'm probably wrong, but I do think that it's that, because I know that gay men feel that as well, where they're like, I like men, I am attracted to men, but I fucking hate men, but I'm attracted to them. And then there's gay men who are like, I like men, and also I like the company of men and being around men.
Yeah, you know? I suppose it's not that black and white for me, because I like some men and I like the company of some men, but yeah. I do like the company of most men. And 9 times out of 10, if I have to hang out with a man, I'm like,
oh, this is a bad time.
Jesus. Like, do you ever listen to yourself?
Do you look and listen to yourself?
But then, like, I do. Yeah, I don't know. I think my relationship with men has changed as I've become more educated. You know, you kind of look at things differently, and you're like, you're doing that because of, like, the patriarchal society, and you don't even understand that you are treating me less than. You don't even get that.
It's not even a thought.
Like, today I was on a call, and the guy was like, get me somebody who knows what they're talking about. But what he wanted was a man, because there was 3 women on the call.
Yeah, he wanted a man. Like, I've, my old job, I had that before. Can I speak to a man? No, you can speak to me, or you don't speak to anybody.
Yeah, that's like,
how it works. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't hate. I know I make jokes where I'm like, I hate all men. I clearly don't hate all men. I have men in my life that I love. Like, I love the men that are in my life, but would I actively go out of my way to make friends with other men? No.
Yeah, I think that's
it.
You spend, I'm way more happier making friends with women.
Yeah. Like,
I think the men that I do want to be friends with, or that I do become, that I am friends with. It's not a true statement, because I'm friends with loads of men where I'm like, you're a tick. Like, do you understand? And then they debate the fact with you, and you're like,
no, you are. You are a tick.
Yeah, like, no, you're not. Like, you're a dumb. Like, do you understand that you're dumb? And they're like, no, I haven't. And here's all the reasons why. And I'm like, yeah, I can do that too, but I also understand that you're a cunt.
You're a piece of shit. Anyway, yeah. Welcome to the man-hating, immediate man-hating. Immediate 7 minutes of man-hating.
Man-hating club. Yeah.
I apologize. I should also, as I was saying before we got cut off the last time, apologies for the delay in the episode. I got sick. It was my fault. I'm very, very sorry. But I'm better now, and hopefully we're back. But can I make that promise? No.
Yeah, I'm not sick.
Sarah's not sick, but can we make that promise? No.
No, because I'm just like, my body.
Yeah, no.
Down.
Trying to kill you at this point.
I just did a COVID test before I came up here.
Oh, are you okay?
Yeah, I don't have COVID, but I just feel like I had, today I felt really weird in work. I got a headache, and then I was like, I'm going to throw up, but it was like really sudden. And then I didn't throw up, and then the headache kind of went away. But then when I got home, I was like, I just don't feel well. I feel really drained. I've also had a very stressful 2 days of work, so it could just be that. But like,
Yeah.
the sick thing, and then someone in work was like Rachel was like, my entire family have COVID, and I was like, oh, I better just test.
Bro, so many people have COVID.
Just that time.
So many people have COVID, like, because I thought what I had was COVID, and then I tested like four times and it wasn't COVID. I was like, it's just
Yeah,
some
and
stupid.
Brian's dad has a chest infection, and he obviously got tested for COVID in the hospital, and he doesn't, but it is going.
Anyway, fun times, COVID. We're all
Yeah,
having
COVID's back.
a fucking great time, lads. Everything's great. I was listening to, my mother has the radio on constantly, like it's constantly on. I'm down at my mum's, it's just like never ending. And I know this is such a downer, but I just wanted to talk about it. There was a statistic from Women's Aid, and they said that there has been a, I believe they said, 70% increase in domestic violence calls and help needed from women in this country in the last 4 years.
What?
75%. Like, apparently one of the highest forms of it at the moment is financial abuse, which is very strange. And I've been trying to kind of quantify why that is happening, or why that has been such a massive increase. And I don't know what it is.
I would say it's a cost of living crisis, Emma.
Maybe, yeah, maybe it is that, where it's like, I want money.
If you're a woman in a relationship with a man, there's a high likelihood that you're on significantly less money than them. Statistically,
yeah.
You're the one that earns less money. I know there are anomalies out there where that's not the case. And if you were in the last 4 years, people's mortgages have gone up by like 700-800 euro.
Yeah.
And so if you're on less money and the mortgage is going up and you're still paying your like 50%,
Yeah.
you have less disposable income as well.
Yeah. Like,
like the cost of living at the minute is insane. Someone sent me, I bought a pack of Maltesers yesterday, they were €5.
Dude, €8 for a bottle of Dove deodorant in the fucking shop beside my house.
Yeah, like I was like my
mortgage. I feel like we're all on crack at this point. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, like I have a tracker mortgage, so I'm at the mercy of the ECB. My mortgage has gone up, I think, €900 in the last 2 years.
Fuck, dude.
Yeah, like it literally, and it was like non-stop. I would get one letter and then to be like, hey, your mortgage is increasing. And then 2 weeks later, it was like, hey, your mortgage is increasing. And then literally like every kind of 5 to 6 weeks, I was getting a letter being like, hey, your mortgage is increasing. Here's the new price. And it was not like, there was nothing I could do about it because it's an interest rate. I don't have.
Oh my God. Money.
Yeah, like €900 it's gone up by. And
that is incredibly fucking depressing.
Yeah, like, and I've got like, and the other thing about that €900, right, and this is just like finances now, that's just interest, so it's not going off the capital.
No, it's not going off the capital of the
so
actual thing.
I'm now paying €900 more for the last 2 years, essentially, or like year and a half. Like,
it's not
that,
denting.
It's not denting. I still have like the exact same amount of time left on my mortgage than before that increase. Like, and I'm like, me and Graham are fucking really lucky. We were in a position to be like, right, we can pay it. It's tough, but we can pay it. But like, honestly, the amount of people, that's just like €900 extra a month, Emma.
That is insane.
I'm better off quitting my job.
Yeah.
I'm better off not working.
Like, it is just insane what's going on. And I just, if you're listening to this podcast, I know we can't really help that much, but if you are listening to this podcast and you feel like something is going on in your relationship that you're not comfortable with or you need help with, please, 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 please reach out. There is help out there. Quick Google will get you all the information you need. Women's Aid is there. The Samaritans are there. If you're in a financial abusive financial situation, if you have to go into your bank at some point, you can speak to them about it and they will get you help. I've seen AIB make ads about it. If there is somebody abusing you financially, if you have to go into your bank for a reason, speak to them and they will help you.
I think the other reason the increase could have came about, and this is just me thinking of like statistical anomalies, is that the coercive control law came in 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's true. So maybe it is a thing now where they're seeing
cases, but that's because they can actually.
And I know stalking was made a standalone law last year or the year before as well. So I know that that has now, you can actually bring someone to court for stalking. Like, you get
I understand that increase is shocking.
But it is beyond shocking.
But also,
the other question has to be asked of, as a society, has the influx of anti-women and misogynistic content that is currently being spewed on the fucking internet, has it started to affect people? Because that shit's not in a vacuum.
No, it's not in a vacuum. And you not only do you have men doing that, you have women doing it. You have women that, that's their entire, influencer fucking nonsense. Like, that video that was doing the rounds a while ago, where they were like, I'm not a feminist, I can cook.
Oh my God. I can cook. I'm not a feminist.
Open the door for me.
I don't know, sometimes I just feel like I'm losing the will to live. But anyway, as I said, if you are in a position, or if you're in a situation where you're uncomfortable or unhappy, please, 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 please reach out, please, I'm begging you, because the amount of women that are unfortunately being murdered in this country because they're in volatile domestic relationships is increasing, and it's terrifying. So you're not alone. I know it's such a cliche thing to say, but you're not alone. And that's all I wanted to say, because it just popped up on the radio. Me and my mum were listening to it, and we were like, fuck, that's fucking crazy and terrifying and awful.
Related, no, I'm putting nipple balm on my lips.
What, does that help?
Apparently.
Are they still really sore?
Just getting really dry again.
What are we going to do with your hair, Fernan?
Tastes like shite, actually. I'm taking it off.
Well, it's for your nipples, and you can't taste through your nipples, so they're not thinking of that. Mm. Are they rotten?
Anybody who is not into ASMR, I apologize. That's better. See, Justin Timberlake got arrested.
It's the memes that are being made out of that man currently. The funniest part for me was the guy who arrested him who didn't know who he was.
Because
we're old.
Yeah, that's the thing I got. Justin Timberlake was like, this is really going to mess up the tour. And the guy was like, what tour? The world tour.
Also, can I just say, his wife needs to leave him. He's a fucking wreck of a human being. Girl, leave. What are you doing?
Do you remember he was cheating on her?
Yeah, he was.
Who was he holding hands with?
I don't know, some actress. Take the money. Take your kids and leave. He is a fucking wreck of a human being. Like, this is terrible, but if I was in a relationship with someone and they got a DUI, I'd be like, I'm breaking up with you.
Would you?
Yes. 1,000%. You got in a car drunk. You could have killed someone. I'm leaving you. Bye-bye.
Was he really drunk?
Yeah, he's under the influence.
Alicia Wainwright is who he was holding hands with in 2019.
Oh, Alicia.
I just remember seeing these videos.
We were holding hands like friends. It was friends.
These people are 100% fucking. Like,
yeah, she needs to leave him.
Like, 100%. Like, this.
Like, I don't know anything about them as people, but I feel like that's not going to last. He's a mess.
They've been together so long, Emma.
I know, but that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, true.
People are together 40 years and they divorce there. Matter how long you're with someone. I love the way your standard for why people should stay together is because they've been together for a long time.
No, I just mean if you were gonna divorce someone, would you not have done it when he did the other thing?
I don't know. I feel like he's a wreck.
This is her. This is who he.
Oh, I don't know her at all.
I guess because her career ended when she did what she did.
Oh, which is how.
That's it, Justin Timberlake's entire MO.
His MO, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh my God.
Fucking MO.
Janet Jackson, Britney.
Yeah, he's a scumbag. He's got the biggest scumbag head I've ever seen in my life. Like, he is not a good person. You know, he is playing golf and making sexual remarks about women and saying the N-word. Like, I have no doubt. I just need to look at him to know that.
Justin, if you listen to this, I'm sorry that she
said that. Fuck you, Justin. You stupid prick. fucking hack you.
Close your gate all over again.
We were so thirsty for any attractive men in the early 2000s that people thought that man was attractive.
Boo, boo, boo.
He's not.
Boo, boo.
And I blame Pharrell Williams for a lot of stuff. I blame Pharrell Williams fully for Justin Timberlake.
Ladies and gentlemen.
It's fully Pharrell's fault.
My pleasure to introduce to you. And then he goes, he's a friend of mine. And then Justin goes, yes, I am.
Oh my God, the cringe, like the actual cringe.
And he goes by the name. And then Justin goes,
there's plenty of like artists that are like his age that are doing tours and stuff and doing well. And nobody, you kind of look at it and you go, okay, yeah. But when I see him dance, I'm like, oh my God, this is the cringiest thing I've ever seen in my life.
He is very cringe. Like, you remember the other guy that was in NSYNC that had that one great song that he released as a solo? It's a JC Chavez or something like that was his
name.
Oh,
I think that's who you're talking about. Yeah. Did he have loads of hair?
Yeah, he had a lot of hair. He had one like great song.
Like a banger?
Yeah, and then he just Justin was like the one that was going to make
Justin was the guy, because the rest of them all looked like they found them at a homeless factory.
Yeah, like that Joey Fatone fella. I'm like, did you pay to be in the band?
I don't know how he got in that band.
I think he paid to be in. I think he was like, I'll give you money if I can be in the band.
I will pay to play.
Yeah, like.
I will pay to play in NSYNC.
Yeah, and then Lance went to space and is gay, right? Isn't that Lance's name?
If I was Lance, I would at all times have that as my bio.
Lance went to space and is gay.
I went to space and I'm gay. That would be my bio for the rest of my life. Nobody else needs to know anything else about me. I'm gay and I went to space. I'm homosexual. I'm an astronaut. That's all you need to know.
Did go
about
to space?
Me.
Am I making that up?
No, I think he did. One of them went to space. Oh, hold on. Did they? Yeah.
Was a homosexual went to space.
A homosexual. Homosexuals in space. also, just wanted to say.
You're sending them to space now.
I just wanted to say congratulations to Colin Foy, who did an amazing job at the first Longford Pride ever, because apparently there are gay people in Longford. They're not all in Dublin, as I was told when I was a child. So congratulations to Colin. He did a great job. Congratulations to everybody at Longford Pride. They were amazing. They did a fucking phenomenal work. So I'm very proud of them. Goodbye, Longford.
Those gay people down in Longford, they were flown in by the gays.
They were. They were boated up from Dublin.
Hijacked in. Dropped
they
in.
Only live in Dublin. There's no gays. As I was told, there's no gays in our village. No gay people in our village. I don't know. I feel like there is.
I feel like
I could name someone get in trouble, but you know.
Yeah, no, there was a number of gays in the Ballyferma village as well back in the day, but apparently we didn't have any. But there was one woman who used to coach football, and I'm telling you now. I'm telling you now.
Was munching the minge.
That lady was not here for the dick.
No.
Any week.
No. No. God, good for her. Good for her. Imagine not being attracted to men and being like, I never have to be around you if I don't want to be.
Well, you know, work exists and there.
No, but in the sense that, like, in your life, in your personal life, I can just be around women and marry a woman and be with a woman.
Don't be so quick to walk away.
Do you have any housekeeping?
Housekeeping.
Yeah. I don't know, Emma. I'm like, we haven't done a podcast since 1997.
Yes, you do have housekeeping.
What is it?
You have to. What are we doing in August? You do have high
school. Oh yeah, sorry, apologies.
Sarah's going to tell.
So I'm going to tell you about our live show. We're doing a live show. What date is it, Emma? I don't know because I can't remember that.
15th of August in the Laughter Lounge. 15th
of August in the Laughter Lounge. If you like lounges and you like having a laugh, come to the Laughter Lounge and we'll be there. 15th of August. Tickets are available through the laughterlounge.ie, I assume, Emma.
They are. And also, if you can come, that'd be great, please.
Yeah, there's 100 tickets left, I believe.
Yes, something like that. So if you want to come, please come, because I will have a breakdown.
I actually won't. If you don't come, I'm okay with it. But thanks very much.
Please come. Because I don't know. I just feel like, you know, they'll hate us or whatever. But the tickets are €20, €21, I believe. It'll be a good time. Colin will be on a great show. He's good at this stuff. He knows what he's doing.
A Macho Man costume.
Hopefully he will wear the Macho Man costume. But yeah, thank you to everybody who has already bought tickets. We appreciate it so much.
So much. There's people traveling again to come see
us. Yeah, it's crazy. So thank you so much. We really appreciate it. Yeah, so if you can, that'd be great. Thanks so much. I have no other housekeeping, I don't think. No.
I really appreciate you buying tickets. Thank you so much. And we really appreciate you continuing to support this nonsense. And we're so sorry we've been such bad podcasters.
Me, Emma. We're so sorry, Emma, me, the royal Emma, has been such a terrible podcaster, and I will be better.
Being included in that, I've done no research.
No, like, I've just been so bad at the moment. But things are getting a little bit better now. So, yay. Hooray, hurrah, hurroo.
Emma, can we talk about the evolution of my eyebrows this year?
The evolution of your eyebrows?
Yeah. Like, I am having the strongest summer eyebrow game of my life.
You're having an eyebrow-tastic time at the moment.
It's a renaissance of for SJ.
A renaissance.
I'm like Matthew McConaughey. I'm having a renaissance of my eyebrows.
Did he have a renaissance, though?
People say that, like, what do they call it? Matthew McConaissance? Isn't that what they called it for a bit?
Like, what's he done?
Well, I think it's gone now, because now he does motivational speaking, and he does that sleep app.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No, you know that Calm app where it, like, is supposed to help you sleep?
Yeah.
Yeah, he has, like, you can buy, it's Matthew McConaughey, and he's like, well, all right. And he, like, speaks to you, like, to sleep. He's like, I'm going to tell you a story.
What the fuck?
And then he talks, he tells you a story, and then you fall asleep. I only know this because Mickey Bubbles.
What about him?
Michael Bublé, he talked about it on the Graham Norton show.
Okay, so he's just not acting then, or?
I think he is. Like, he was in that movie, I don't know, I haven't seen him in a while. Like, I'm sure he's been in things. Like, I watched, he's in Wolf of Wall Street, obviously, but that's so long ago now. And then he was in that other movie where he lost all the weight, the cowboy one, which I can't think of the name of, which I did watch one day when I was here, and it is very sad, it's very good. And Jared Leto.
Yeah.
But Jared Leto seems like a terrible human being in real life. But anyway. I'm
waiting for the article on Jared Leto to come out.
And then he obviously was in True Detective.
Yes.
Then
he finally just wasn't in anything for a while, and now he's doing apps about sleeping.
Yeah, and he wrote a book, and he does, like, motivational speaking as well, like those master classes, but it's not a master class, it's like something else, because he does it himself. You know, Matthew McConaughey's dad was having sex with Matthew McConaughey's mother, and he died.
I heard that, and also apparently he slept with Woody Harrelson's mother.
Yeah, so there is a whole thing where there's, like, potential for those two to be brothers,
be related. By the way,
what,
how are the stitches?
Actually, they finally came out, the stitches in my mouth.
They came out and everything okay?
Yeah. I'm telling you, Rusty, I believe, was Matthew McConaughey's dad. That was his name. And him and his wife were performing coitus. And he had a massive heart attack and died. But as he was being taken out of the house on the trolley to get it put in the ambulance, Matthew McConaughey's mother pulled the sheet off him because she was like, I want people to see my man, because he had a big raging heart on.
Like, Matthew McConaughey's starting to make sense.
Yeah, doesn't that make sense?
Yeah, he's starting to make sense.
Yeah.
A little bit as to what's going on there.
Realize right now in this very moment, I know a lot of unnecessary stuff about Matthew McConaughey.
You know, Matthew McConaughey, you could be his autobiographer at this point.
I don't know why I know all that, but anyway, there you go. I could have made all that up. I don't know if that's true.
No, that sounds very true.
Okay.
That sounds like a very true story. I appreciated it. Thank you for Matthew McConaughey's dad's boner story.
Yeah. Could you imagine dying in the middle of having sex?
Oh, I think I'd be, no, because I just won't be having sex. I just be like, no, get off me.
I'd be mortified. I'd go to heaven or hell mortified.
Ah, you wouldn't care. You'd be dead.
Oh, but you would care. You'd be like, are you fucking... Because, like, when you die, you piss and shit yourself.
You do piss and shit yourself.
Mm.
I do that without dying, so I'm not really overly concerned.
Mm. And Graham keeps asking me, if I die in my sleep, will my eyes be closed? And I don't know how many times I have to say to him, no, your eyes open when you die because your muscles.
Why is he asking you that?
I don't know. It's like his new thing. He's obsessed with, like, what you look like when you die.
He's going to kill you.
He might, actually. He might. And do you know what?
have this on tape.
He might be right.
We have it on tape.
I'm trying to think, is there anything else going on? Lily broke her foot.
Lily did break her foot.
Yeah, so that's happening.
Lily pops a poo. She broke her little foot, the poor little thing.
Yeah, she broke her foot. She made her communion. She had the best day of her life at her communion.
We had a great time. Fabulous.
And she's decided she wants to be mayor when she grows up.
Yeah, cool. I would vote for Lily for mayor.
Yeah. And I'm sorry to anybody in the UK right now who's going through this election, because it's piece of dog shit. And your options are
Jesus.
Like, Keir Starmer is a Tory.
Keir Starmer needs to go to a hospital of some sort for mental health. That man's fucking crazy.
He's a Tory, Emma. He's a Tory.
He's a full-blown Tory. Like a full-blown Tory. All of his, it's just England or the UK. Oh, fuck, man. It's bad. It's bad.
Like
it is literally like America. It's like, hey, do you want this genocidal lunatic or this fucking crazy felon to be a president? Hey, take a pick, guys.
Yeah, like,
Also, once again, it's Free Palestine. It's Free Palestine. Yesterday, today, tomorrow, forever, it's Free Palestine. We will never stop saying Free Palestine. I don't give a fuck if you're thick and pleased about it, to be honest with you. Free Palestine.
Free Palestine.
Fuck Israel. Free Palestine. 10 toes down on a bitch. Free Palestine. But yeah, everything, world is on fire. Everything's a nightmare. And I'm going to tell you the second part of a horrible story.
I can't remember the first half, so you're going to have to give me
a recap. We'll give you a brief summary of the first half, but Colin's going to put an ad in now.
Hey, Colin, tell us about the Patreon.
Sure thing, Lily Pops. Hey there, MMI fans. It's me, Colin, and do I have news for you. It's all going down over at www.patreon.com/murdermostirish, where we've totally revamped our Patreon offering for you mega fans. That's right, now all of your favourite Patreon stuff can be found in one place as we bring you our MMI Super Show exclusively for Patreon, featuring all the usual banter and chat between Emma and Sarah Jane, plus me thrown into the bargain, along with Lily's Tales, Maximilian's Bellbag, and some surprises along the way. But that's not all. Every single week, due to popular demand, we will be bringing you a full-length story, whether it be Miscellaneous Most Irish for those cases that just don't fit on the main show, Murder Most International for those cases you guys have been crying out for, or even Music Most Awesome, where we talk about our favorite albums. But wait, there's even more! How about MMI Drive, the fan favorite podcast show where Emma and Sarah Jane drive around Dublin talking about all sorts of shite, plus our monthly Ask Me Our segment where you get to pick the brains of the girls and maybe even ask me a question or two. So what are you waiting for? Come on over to www.patreon.com/murdermostirish and join in the fun for only €6 a month.
Give my mommy €6.
Like, welcome to the show. Nah,
so funny.
What a great ad. I really, you know what I'd love right now? I'd love a Jameson ginger ale. But I have neither of those things in this property. If I asked my mother for a Jameson ginger ale, she would look at me as if I need to go into a program immediately.
Oh, really? Just for one drink?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
When are you coming home?
Who knows?
Okay.
Okay, so I am going to do part two. You're probably going to have to go back. Everybody's probably going to have to go back and listen to part one, because it has been 75 days since I spoke about this. But part one of my story was about the murder of Jamel Moore and Timothy Dean by a man named Ed Buck.
Oh, I remember.
Yes. So Ed Buck was a political donor for the Democratic Party in the United States. And he was in politics. He was in a lot of other stuff. He's just a rich man that was like dipping his toes and everything. And he had a penchant for picking up gay black men, many of whom were sex workers, many of whom were homeless and addicted to drugs, and bringing them back to his house and injecting them with methamphetamines for a sexual kick. And two men died in his house. And for the longest time, this man was just allowed to continue doing what he was doing. He wasn't getting charged. People were ignoring what was happening. LA was like, it's fine. He can do that. We don't care. So that was the start of part one. So I'm going to go into part two now.
So can you remind me, how did he make money again?
So he, when he started off, first he started off, he was a model and he was an actor. So he made money that way. And then he bought a company. There was a company, one of his friends or his friend's father's, was going into bankruptcy, and he bought the company off that person and then made a lot of money off it and then sold that company. Okay. So that's how he made the brunt of his money. So you can go back and listen to part one if you want, because nobody's going to remember this because it was, as I said, 75 years ago. So, okay, so I'm going to start, just this part is about Jasmine Canick. Jasmine Canick was the journalist and activist who Jamel Moore's mother, Letitia, went to her about the fact that nobody would listen to her and her son was dead and nobody wanted to help her. So Jasmine was the lady who stepped in to try to help her. So Jasmine Canick became the voice for not only Jamel Moore, but for every man who had experienced the terror that was Ed Buck. She knew Buck had power. There were photos of him posing with Hillary Clinton and former Governor Jerry Brown. But she did begin to question actually how much power he did have. Was he influential, or did he want to show that he was influential? Fox News, knowing that Buck was not only a Democrat, but also gay, immediately jumped at the opportunity to publicize his wrongdoings. Their approach was in no way utilized to help the family of Jamel Moore or any other men targeted by Buck, but instead to attack a gay Democrat. So they were like, we don't care what he's done, but he's gay and he's a Democrat. Therefore, we're going to like destroy him. But if it was a straight Republican, they would have been like, hey, hold on a second. There's no evidence of any of this. So Canick knew that Fox News's ultimate goal was to do that. And although she did not agree with them, she knew their involvement would lead to Buck being talked about in the wider media. So they were the only real news outlet, major news outlet, that was actually listening to her. And it's really fucked up, because the only reason they were listening to her is because they wanted to bring down a gay Democrat, not because they wanted to help black men who were being targeted.
Yeah.
So Fox tried to paint Buck as a, quote, mega donor and someone who is being protected by the wider Democratic community. The insinuation was that they were protecting him. It would turn out the book was far from that influential. In fact, his donations would pale in comparison to other donors in California. The pictures with the Clintons and other high profile politicians were actually pictures anyone could have taken at a free event. Buck used his minute connection to politics as a way to seem influential, and it could be argued that he used it to scare and control the men he was abusing. So it's, she argued that regardless of how much influence and power Ed Buck did actually have, when he was around these young black men who were in throes of addiction, they saw, he would say, oh, I'm a Democrat, I work for the Democratic Party. They were so terrified of that, that they didn't even ask questions. They were like, well, he's in power, he's got pictures with the Clintons, therefore. But it was all a ruse. Like, he knew he could control people that way. Okay. And he did it with his friends and his family and with these men as well. So Ed Buck's fetishization and objectification of black men was well known by his friends and people in his periphery. When he was questioned by a journalist for calling a black police officer, quote, a fucking baboon, Buck replied, quote, that's fucking ridiculous. I've been to bed with more black men than you've ever shaken hands with. So this is very much a white person response to being called a racist, where they go, I have a black friend.
I do have a black friend.
Or if somebody says something incredibly homophobic and they're like, no, I have a gay friend.
Yeah, and I have one of them too.
That's not how it fucking works, man. Hey. You don't get to behave like this just because you have somebody in your life.
I have been using that excuse, and I'm not going to change.
Yeah, and I'm going to keep. But do you ever see women, especially, who have biracial children, who are just the most racist human beings on the planet? And then when they're called out, they're like, my kid's half black. Yeah, but that's not how that works.
Yeah.
Megan, that's not how that works. Not our Megan, just Megan, Megan in general. Megan is a white woman's name. Sorry, Megan, but it is. So is Emma. So is Emma. I know that. Emma is such a white person. So Jesse Barron, in their New York Times article, a fan-fucking-tastic article, by the way, it's entitled What Happened in Ed Buck's Apartment. I'll link it here. It's great. remembered speaking to Ryan Gerich. So Ryan Gerich was the journalist who wrote the WeHo Times article about Jamal Moore. So Ryan Gerich was the first person that wrote about Jamal Moore's death. And if you remember, he had actually been friends with Book previously. Yeah. So his husband, who didn't want to be named, so the writer just called him M. Ryan and his husband were friends with Ed, and M remembers their first meeting explicitly. He said, "The first time I ever met Book, we walked into his apartment together, and Book said to my husband, 'That's a nice looking black man you've got on your arm.'"
What the fuck?
Ed Book is a racist sack of shit, and he thinks because he wants to have sex with black men, he's not racist.
He's just
like, this is slave master bullshit. Like, this is crazy. So M said Book would offend him regularly, being racist and condescending. He would then turn up at Ryan and M's house, offering M money as an apology, sometimes thousands of dollars.
What?
So I don't really get why you would take that money, but that's not my place to say. Like, he would just be really, really, like, terribly, horribly offensive, do awful shit, and then just turn up at the house and be like, "I'm really sorry, here's some money." So I don't really know what was going on here.
Yeah.
So M did not see a real issue with Book's attraction to black men, saying that they were all consenting adults. M would continue to believe that Jamel's death was simply an accident, but eventually he started to piece things together about Book's behavior and treatment of black men. So this is from Jesse Barron's article again. M said, once out with Book in West Hollywood, M pointed to a young black man and joked, quote, "Ed, that's your type." And Book said, "Yeah, but I like him stupid."
Emma.
So 18 months later, 18 months from the death of Jamal Moore, another black man will be found dead in Ed Book's apartment. As Letitia and Jasmine continued to fight for Jamal, launching a wrongful death lawsuit against Book, Book remained free. This man was just chilling. There was no charges brought against him. There was no police investigation, nothing. The person who ultimately had the right to bring charges against Book was D.A. Jackie Lacey. Now, so the district attorney of L.A. County, who was the first black district attorney of L.A. County, right? So in July 2018, Lacey told the public that her team had conducted an investigation and would not be filing charges against Book. There was an immediate outcry from the public and from African-American activists. It was now public knowledge that Book was enmeshed in the Democratic Party, and Jasmine Canick had spoken to many men who had experienced what Jamal Moore had, but fortunately lived to tell their tale. And the people knew of LA knew a cover-up when they saw one. So that lady, Jackie Lacey, was not re-elected in 2019. And the main reason for that is because she did not bring charges against Ed Book.
Yeah, of course.
So demonstrators gathered outside Book's apartment as well as Jackie Lacey's office and demanded Ed Book be arrested. However, months would pass and Book would still remain free. So there's already one man having died in his house. And there are countless other men who have contacted Jasmine Canick to let her know that this is continuously happening. He's still doing this after Jamal died. So January 7th, 2019. Police in West Hollywood received a call from an address in WeHo. Minutes later, they arrived at Ed Book's apartment. Inside, they found a man laying on the ground. He was naked except for his white underwear. A large amount of blood covered his mouth and spilled onto the dirty carpet beneath him. Book called the man his friend. He told the police it was all a terrible accident. As the police covered the body of another dead black man in Ed Book's apartment, Ed reiterated that it was an accident and they believed him.
What?
The man dead inside Book's apartment was 55-year-old Timothy Dean. As news spread of Timothy's death, his autopsy and toxicology report were released to his family. In it, the cause of death was an overdose of methamphetamine mixed with alcohol. The coroner then ticked the box that stated that Timothy's death was an accident. So they already had one dead man in this motherfucker's apartment from an overdose that was shown as an accident, and now a second one within 2 years, and it's been put down as an accident again. Same coroner, by the way.
Did no one think, you know what, this is peculiar?
No. So as a pattern was being recognized by not only Jamel's family, the activists and the media, reports that Timothy Dean was a sex worker were denied by his family and friends. Timothy had worked in adult entertainment, but he was also an employee of Saks Fifth Avenue, a member of the National Gay Basketball Association and a recently baptized member of 1LA, a religious group based at the Potter's House Church on La Brea Avenue. He moved to California in 2002 and earned a degree from Santa Monica College. His friends and family said Timothy was kind and funny and wanted to make everyone feel welcome at all times. He loved fashion and his job in Bloomingdale's was one of his main passions. He also loved food and cooking. His mother said he was loving and he was loved. Before Timothy, even before, right, Timothy Dean's identity was made public. So even before this, Ed Book's slimebag attorney, Seymour Amster, released a statement in which he said, quote, "The man was an old friend who died of an accidental overdose. And unfortunately, we believe that the substance was ingested at some place other than the apartment. The person came over intoxicated." So this is the same attorney that was saying that Jamel Moore was Ed Book's friend. Men are not his friends. You are a fucking scumbag. And it was also noted by the coroner that Ed Book took at least 20 minutes to call an ambulance as his supposed old friend lay choking to death on the ground.
So this guy was like choking on his own blood.
Choking on his own blood. And it took him 20 minutes to call an ambulance. But he's a friend.
Friend.
So Timothy's close friend and housemate, I apologize if I butcher this name, Ottavio Taddei, denied this, saying, quote, "He was a wonderful person. I lived with him and he did not do drugs. I had never seen him on drugs ever. Timothy also became incredibly religious, and a lot of that stuff would have been seen as like, you know, not something that you do.
Yeah.
Timothy's death was now a pattern, and demands were made from activists across the United States to have Ed Book investigated. Not only arrested, investigated. They were not investigating this man. He told them at the door it was an accidental overdose, and they were like, okay, bye. Two times. David Johns, who is the executive director of the Washington, D.C.-based National Black Justice Coalition, released a statement in which he said that it was not a safe space for black men once Ed Book was free. He said, "It is public knowledge that Ed Book was allegedly giving young black men harmful drugs long before the second young man died in his home, that these tragic events encourage conversation about the fact that the lives of black gay men are not disposable." So as Book's political history was being unearthed in the mainstream media, demands were made to politicians who received donations from Book to give the money to worthy organizations that would help the black community and the gay community. Two communities Ed Book was actively targeting. Okay, so this is from the So this is from WeHoville.com, which is the WeHo community newspaper. It's online. And this, I'm just going to read out what they gave back. So U.S. Representative Ted Lieu has announced that he will do that, donating $5,000 each to Lambada Legal and the NAACP, $3,000 each to GLAAD and the Trevor Project, and $2,500 to the Equality California Institute. Each of the current members of the West Hollywood City Council has received donations from Book, with the exception of Council Member Lindsay Horvath. These donations have ranged from $14,000 to various campaigns for Mayor John Duran, to a total of $1,000 for two council members, John DeMarco's election campaigns. So he was giving money to the small political community within WeHo, not like the larger Democratic community. The people that were actually running WeHo, he was giving money to them. So it was insular. It wasn't like I gave 50 grand to Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton doesn't give a fuck what's happening in WeHo. However, council members,
buying local influence.
Yes, council members and people who live in WeHo are getting 14 and 15 grand from this man. So they're not going to fucking open their mouths. It will be another 8 months in September 2019 before Ed Book would finally be arrested, when Dane Brown walked into a gas station clutching his heart, having been shot up with meth three times. Dane gasped for air as he told the police what Book had done. So this was the guy I talked about at the start of the last episode.
Yeah.
Who he brought in and lived in his house, weirdly, and was like constantly shooting him up with meth. So it was only when this guy went to the police and was like, he's after doing this to me, did they kind of start to go, okay, maybe we believe he actually is doing this. So 12 days later, on September 17, 2019, police officers knocked on Ed Book's door in 1234 North Laurel, guns leveled at the door. Book answered and was placed in handcuffs. He remained silent as they read him his rights. So Buck was initially charged with 3 counts of battery causing serious injury, administering methamphetamine and maintaining a drug house, according to the Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office. He was accused of having injected a 37-year-old man who overdosed and survived with methamphetamine on September 4th. So that's Dane Brown that I'm talking about now. So the initial charges were just about Dane Brown.
Okay.
That's what it was. That's just from Wikipedia.
Did he batter them? Did he hit them?
Yeah, he was. So what would happen is there was videos of it in court. When he would leave them incapacitated, he would sexually violate them when they were incapacitated, and he would also physically harm them as well.
Oh, so gosh.
There was both elements of that, like not just, oh, I want to see you pass out. It was what he could inflict on them when they were passed out. So yeah, there was.
Jesus Christ.
I was a fucking psychopath. So as Jamel and Timothy's family celebrated the arrest of Buck, they waited impatiently for federal charges to be brought forward for the death of their loved ones. They would not have to wait long, as on September 21st, a federal charge of, quote, 1 count of distribution of methamphetamine resulting in death was added by the United States for the death of Jamel Moore, who died on July 27th, 2017. That death had originally been ruled as an accidental methamphetamine overdose by the Los Angeles County Department of Medical Examiner Coroner. So Jamel's death was now added to his charges.
Okay.
So not Timothy's yet. Jamel's death was added. So he had the charge about the initial charge was for the guy, Dane Brown. The second one was a federal charge. So a number of days after the federal charges were passed down, Jackie Lacey, along with the LA sheriff, gave a news conference where they stated that the feds had been involved in Buck's case for a while now in a drug task force. Lacey stated the reason she could not press charges against Buck was that it may have caused issues with the task force. Absolute horseshit and not true. Bullshit. I've never seen more bullshit in my fucking life. The feds were not involved. The feds only got involved when there was a man alive to be like, I nearly died and this motherfucker did it. And they were getting so much pressure from the activists and from Jamel's family and Timothy's family. And it was getting louder and louder. And Fox News were now on it and other channels took it up as well. So it was the pressure from the public that actually made them go, fuck, we have to do something here. So Manny did not believe this, including Jasmine Canick, who stated that Buck was a Weinstein character and was treated as such. A white man with perceived power, and once arrested, it was a case of everyone knew and they were trying to bring him down from the inside. Horse shit. Okay, so I just had a note here where I wanted to mention Buck actually did not have that much money. Like, he wasn't very wealthy. His house was a fucking shithole. Like, he didn't have a lot of money, and any money he had, he was spending it on drugs.
Okay.
Like, he was an absolute meth addict. Like, he didn't have much money. But because of his power was perceived because of his whiteness and his proximity to power. So people would look at him and go, oh, that's a white man who is like friends with the Clintons or friends with this person. But he wasn't. But the perception was there and he knew that. And I think this case is more about what these men didn't have than what Buck did have. Like, they didn't have money. They didn't have a home. They didn't have safety. They didn't have any of that. But he was like, well, I am a white man with lots of money. But he didn't have any of those things. It was just a perception.
Perception.
Which is fucked, man, because he knew that and he was abusing it. So as Buck remained in jail, he wrote letters to his lawyer and his friends. In them, he never once mentioned the dead men found in his apartment or the countless men he harmed to fulfill his degrading racist kink. Instead, he questioned how anybody could think he was responsible for such awful things. Quote, someone told me that if somebody proclaims he is not a racist, he probably is, he wrote. But when I hear the charge directed at me, it is too ludicrous to ignore. So this man genuinely doesn't think he's racist.
So he doesn't think that he...
Does not think that drugging black men and calling them the N-word and making him call them his master and his slave and degrading black men is not racist because he's attracted to them. It's the same argument that men don't think they can be misogynist because they're attracted to women. You can be attracted to something and hate it. That is generally quite a given. So, or it's a power structure where it's like, I want to be attracted to this thing that I can control.
This is crazy.
It's crazy. He said, if anybody would look at me, they would see I live my life out loud. I grew up in the 70s, activism, protesting, demonstrating against a war and for civil rights. He then mentioned at length how he rescued golden retrievers, so therefore could never be a murderer.
What?
He was part of a charity that saved golden retrievers. So he's like, there's no way I can be a murderer.
What the fuck?
He's a fucking crazy cunt. So Justice for Jamel, which was a group Letitia started with Jasmine's help, carried on their demonstrations and demanded a maximum sentence for Ed Buck to keep him off the streets and away from vulnerable men. Ed Buck's victims suffered prejudice at every turn, with the media and the general public alike looking down their noses at sex workers and people who were addicted to drugs, almost as if the bigger problem than the man who caused the deaths of two people in his own home. So they were like, it's once again that argument of let them just kill each other. Like, yeah. we don't care about these people. This woman was crying out for help and people were like, oh, well, he was, you know, a sex worker. And so on August 4th, 2020, Buck was finally charged with four more felonies, bringing the federal charges to 9 counts. And his trial began on April 19th, 2021. So in total, he had 9 charges against him.
And he didn't do anything.
Huh?
Still thinks he didn't do anything.
Yeah, fully, yeah. Jamel and Timothy's family, along with Buck's victims, knew it would be difficult to convict Buck of being the one who provided the drugs. So this is a major issue in these cases, because it's difficult to go, yeah, he definitely bought them. There's no receipts. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you can't do that. But they were hopeful that testifying to what had happened would be the evidence that the jury would need. Dane Brown, who is the gentleman that went to the gas station having the heart attack, although terrified, took the stand and told the jury exactly what happened between him and Buck. That Buck shot him up to near overdose quantities, then refused to help him. He told the court that he was helpless and hopeless. His homelessness and addiction was an aphrodisiac to Buck. Dane said he felt shame in speaking about his past, but he knew that Buck had to be locked away for as long as possible. He told the LA Times, quote, the drug addiction, people will look at that and say, he's not telling the truth. He's an addict, so he can't be believed. In reality, you just want to tell people what's going on, the hurt and the pain in your life. Now, I will say, Dane currently has a job and he's doing really, really well. He's got a lovely house and he's doing fantastic for himself. So I'm really, really happy for Dane. So other men who asked not to have their identity revealed. Now, a lot of these men who spoke in court were sexually assaulted by Buck. So a lot of them just were like, I don't want my name revealed. And that's absolutely fair enough. So they spoke about their encounters with Buck, all very similar to Jamel and Timothy, and how they knew they were lucky to be alive. As they were cross-examined by Buck's team, they were made to feel shame at being escorts and sex workers, but they stood defiantly. Videos were shown of Ed Buck injecting men with lethal doses of meth, as well as holding chloroformed rags over men's mouths in order to watch them pass out.
He filmed himself.
Oh, there was tons of footage. Like, he's so dumb, because a lot of what he was doing, he filmed some of the stuff on other people's phones. So they all had phone evidence of, they all had videos and pictures of him doing these things. So as soon as one victim comes forward, which is what happens a lot of the time, it gives other victims a chance to be like, this actually happened to me too.
Yeah.
What people call a pile-on is actually a door being opened. Like, that's all it is, to other people being able to stand up.
Yeah.
Ed Buck's victims and the families of his victims were dragged through the hell of reliving what happened. But it would all be worth it, as on the 27th of July, 2021, Ed Buck was found guilty of every charge in a 9-charge indictment. 1 year later, he was sentenced to 30 years in prison. The joy that the families, friends and victims of Buck felt was overwhelming but bittersweet. As they celebrated a victory, they still felt a need to defend their loved ones. Jasmine Canick stood with Letitia Nixon and spoke to the cameras. She said it was an uphill battle just because he was a white man who had some money. Even if you take the Democratic donor part out of it, you have a white man who lives in West Hollywood and you have these black victims who are sex workers. The scale is immediately uneven. If these were a bunch of white women, it wouldn't have gotten this far.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Letitia also spoke outside the court. She said, my son was more than an escort, more than a prostitute, as many of you have said. This is my baby, my son. He was a human being and he was loved by lots of people. I was going to just lay in bed today, which I've done for the past 3 years. I just sleep the day away and I cry. And today I had to get up and be here, not just for Jamel, but for Timothy Dean's family and all the other victims. In 2019, Letitia Nixon told the world that she wanted Ed Buck to know she was never going to go away, that once she was alive, she would fight for the justice for her son, Jamel. As Buck spends the remainder of his life in jail and as his victims heal, Letitia Nixon can be safe in the knowledge that not only did she get justice for her son, but she saved the lives of countless other men. And that is the case of the murder of Jamel Moore and Timothy Dean, and also the absolute horrific abuse of countless other men in WeHo by the absolute lunatic scumbag, Ed Buck.
Emma.
Crazy.
That's crazy.
And I told you, like, I remember listening to the read and them talking about this and being like, why is this man not in prison? And this was like before like anything had really come out about him. But it was an open secret in West Hollywood. A massively open secret. Like, there is a massive problem with racism. Unfortunately, there's a problem with racism everywhere. But within the gay community, like, you will go on those apps, like Colin has told me, and it's like, no fats, no femmes, no black people, no Asian people. Like, there is a massive problem with racism within the gay community. Huge. And once again, this fetishization of black men is a huge problem as well. Like, they're not seen as human beings. They're just seen as a fetish. And that's what happens when you do that. You can reduce them to nothing. Reduce them to a figure. That's it. So I just hope Letitia is doing well. She's an incredible human being. Like, her strength is unbelievable. And if you want to, Justice for Jamel is still up. They've already made Buck pay out, I believe, $47,000 in reparations. So that's really good. And he's been cleaned out. He's completely bankrupt. So fuck that guy. Rotten hell. He's six. He's going to be 97 before he gets out. So hopefully he'll be dead by then. I think he will be. And he did that thing that they all do, you know, where before they go on trial, they like stop eating. So they get really skinny and look really frail and sick because they think the jury is going to be like, there's no way that guy did that. And then they showed the videos and everyone was like, oh, you know, he did do it.
That's what the Jinx did.
The Jinx did, yeah. Or like the East Area Rapist. Remember, he pretended he couldn't walk.
Oh,
and
then
there's videos of him inside his cell climbing up on the bed and climbing the walls and stuff. Fine. It's such a scumbag lawyer tactic as well. It's like, put this neck brace on.
Yeah, the guy, what's that guy's name? Durst.
Yeah, Robert Durst.
Yeah, he like shaved his head so you could see his cochlear implant.
Yeah, that's what they do. The real scumbag fucking lawyer thing to do. But yeah, no, it's just desperately sad. And it's also the effects of power imbalance, the effects of racism, the effects of classism. Like, it's everything rolled up into a really fucked up ball. But he's in prison. This could have had a much worse ending. There shouldn't be two people dead. Like, he was getting, not only that, he was fully getting people addicted to meth. Some of these people had never done meth before. They'd never touched meth. And he injected them with doses that could kill them. Over days. So then they were fully fucking addicted to meth. So not only he was ruining their lives. Yeah, ruining their lives. Like, some of these people probably just had done E and stuff before. And now they're over in his house. He's like, I want to inject you meth. And they're like, well, I need the money. I'm homeless.
This is insane to me.
Insane. Absolutely fucking insane. Like, but yeah, that's the story. And once again, so sorry that we haven't been around in a while. Hopefully we're back to normal going forward. And thank you for waiting for us. And thank you to everybody who sent lovely messages and was very, very understanding. So that's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, thanks very much, everybody. And I have to do a story now. Fuck.
Yeah, you're grand. You look tired. Are you tired?
I'm really tired. It's just hit me now. I shouldn't have lied down.
Yeah, I find that whenever I'm like, oh, go sleep. Your body's like, sleep time.
And then you're telling me a story as well.
I know.
Like, you're telling me a story, and as sad and as horrible and as miserable as it is.
No, it's nice to have someone talk to
you. Story, and you're telling me. Like, it's like, you know, when you go, when you're like really into like a podcast, and then you're like, yes. Oh, I'll go upstairs and I'll lie down. And then 20 minutes in, you're like,
half day.
Like, how cold. And then you wake up and you're like, oh, how many episodes deep am I? Like, where did I fall asleep? Like,
But yeah, I'll let you go because you're tired, honey. And we will be back next week, hopefully, because I don't know. Everything could go to shit in the next like 2 days, but who knows? We'll try our best. And thank you again for waiting, and we really, really appreciate it.
And come to the live show on August 15th.
Come to the show, please. Please come to the live show, please. Say goodbye, Sarah Jane.
Goodbye. Happy Christmas.
I'm going to go have a shower, dude. I'll talk to you later, all right?
All right. Bye.
Hello, Emma.
Hello.
Welcome to another therapy session. My name is Dr. Schwinkernadel. Let me bring up your file here.
Mm-hmm.
You appear to not like men very much, is this correct?
Fucking men!
Do you think these are rational thoughts, Miss McCormack?
I don't know, dude.
I see. Well, you're in luck, because I have an exercise that can help you out.
Okay.
Just take a deep breath. And now tell me everything you hate about men.
Things I hate about men. Let me see.
I never had time for Billy. Is a fool, so please take this as a warning. Emma's gonna get you. Emma's gonna get you. I really hate that cunt Adam, he's a bastard. That liar John is a too dirty bastard. If I had my way, there would be a reckoning. Emma's gonna.
She hates the boys. She shakes her fist when they make noise. She keeps the scissors in her bag. Don't get her mad, cause she'll say, MMI, MMI, dirty old man, you deserve this. MMI, MMI, dirty old man, you deserve this. MMI, MMI, MMI.
Listen, Sarah Jane, I've come up with a plan. We could castrate a man in the back of your van. Sarah Jane, you.